Good morning, good afternoon, good night. What's up, ladies and gentlemen, wherever you may be? Welcome back to another episode of Arrest the Police Who Murdered Breonna Taylor. Positivity Spartans, ladies and gentlemen. How y'all doing today? It's the host, Isaiah Hubbard, back again with my co-host, Marcellus James and Eric Lane. And we are joined today by a very special guest, Mr. Walter Wilson, Eric's father. What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
All good, baby. Doing just fine. Real swell.
What's up, fellas? How everything going with y'all, man? It's been a little bit since we spoke.
I know.
Everything cool, bro. I've been trying to get them time zones and everything down, man. It's a little difficult sometimes.
Man, one more week, bro. One more week.
For sure. And then now we was talking to your pops before the episode started. He said he's down there in Orlando, so we added another time zone now, huh? We got
no land.
You said Atlanta?
Landover. It's like
land. Right there with FedEx Field.
Okay. Gotcha. Man, so we all over today. So we got the Father's Day episode, man. As y'all know, Father's Day was yesterday because we're recording today, Monday, the 22nd. Father's Day was yesterday. So to all y'all, happy Father's Day.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Same to y'all as well.
Same to you.
Absolutely. Appreciate it. Well, man, let's you know how we do before we get the podcast started, man. How's everything going with y'all, man? How's your week been? How's your weekend? How y'all feeling mentally? You know, what's up? Talk to me.
Eric.
don't speak at once now.
Oh, all right, my bad. I'll go first. It's been real chill. Started grad school last week. So first week wasn't too bad, but this week I got about 9 quizzes to complete before July 1st.
Okay.
So it's been pretty good. Wife is doing well. She's in last trimester. She got her DD-214 today.
Hey, so, congratulations.
Yeah, so she'll be flying out tomorrow, heading back to New York, and she and I will link up on July 1st. So life's good, man. Everybody got no complaints.
That's dope, bro. I know you counting down to that for sure.
Definitely, man.
Yeah. Man, it's always lovely to have something to look forward to go home to. I mean, after deployment, man, it keeps that drive, man. You know, like we talked about in previous episodes, it keeps you going.
Definitely, bro.
McMaine. Yo, what's up, bro? Did you get attacked by some bees, man? What's up with that?
Bro. Like, straight out of a horror movie. Like, what's that movie, Candyman? Candyman has been out this weekend. we was at beach root practice, and there's like a press box, and up there there's been a hive like growing for months, right? And we put an order in to get it fixed. Nothing ever happened. So this,
you know,
girl
DPW
goes up
take
there.
Forever.
Yeah, she forever. Goes up there to take a video. She, mind you, she's up there for like 2-3 minutes. She comes down hollering, ah! Like, what happened? She runs by me. Her back is covered with bees.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Fast forward, like 8 of us got stung. She got stung 37 times.
Damn.
After they beat us up, they went after the horses. So we was trying to like get them off. And like they ran out the gate. And I wound up like chasing horses on my horse. It's like a movie, man. Like going through the forest.
Django.
Right.
What is happening to my life? All in the span of like 30 minutes. It was just like pure chaos, man. But yeah, I got like my first bee sting along with 5 others. So it was an interesting weekend.
Yeah, it sounds like, to say the least, man. That's crazy. I'm glad all y'all came out of that. You know what I mean? Okay. Cause what did they say? It was like Africanized honeybees or something like that.
Yeah. Yep.
And bro, so I think everyone had it.
Huh?
I think everyone has a near-death experience in the military.
At least one. You like
at least one.
It comes standard issue.
Yeah,
it comes standard issue, man.
They call it the Battle of Ren Arena 2020.
That's funny, man. Besides that, man, how's everything been going?
Man, I'm good for the most part. Just going about my week. You know, trying to stay away from bees now, but
yeah.
How your son doing, bro?
He's good. He's growing crazy fast. Like my cousin had a kid like 3 months before my son was born. My son's way bigger than him. like way bigger, like bigger. Like he's more, he has more dexterity with his hands and stuff. It's really cool to see.
That's them good genes, man. That's good to hear, man. I always love to hear that. Walter, Mr. Walter, once again, I want to thank you for coming on the show, blessing us with your presence.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
I said, I appreciate it.
Oh, no doubt, man. How's life been? How's everything been with you? You know, Eric is actually one of the ones who has started this. We like to do a little, you know, health and welfare check every time we get on, you know, see how everybody's doing mentally, see how everybody's going on about their life, you know, how their goals and things are coming on. And now, you know, you may be more seasoned than me, so you probably retired kicking up fishing, doing whatever you do. But yeah, how's life been for you?
Wish I was retired, champ. I'm still out here. You know what I mean? Yeah, I'm not doing a 9-to-5. I'm doing more like a 5-to-5. You know, but I'm fine. You know, I'm enjoying life. You know, just get out here and just had an opportunity to work. You know, I love what I do for a living. I work outside sales from one of the largest wholesale roofing supply distribution companies in the country. You know, been there for a number of years. I mean, just enjoy doing that, you know, having fun, coming home in the evening time, you know, with the fam, knowing that they're loving that always, feeling blessed, you know, that, you know, I ain't gonna say everything is going my way, but everything is going the way that it's been guided, and I have no complaints at all, you know, so. All is well, though, my friend.
I love to hear that. And I like how you said, you know, everything may not be going how you want it, but, you know, things are going the way they're going and you can't complain about it. You know, that's a great mentality, you know, because I try to keep that same mentality. Some days are harder than others. And I know others can attest to that, but that is definitely, you know, one of those great mentalities to have. You know, even when things aren't going your way, you know, you just got to be grateful you're still waking up every day getting through life.
Right. It's just keep on living. Let's put it that way. Simply. Just keep on living.
Yeah.
Some of those that's something that'll come upon you and you won't even know it. And I'm just listening to you guys, man, and you know, I sort of feel like out of place, reason why, because of the age demographic, but I'm happy at the same time. Because apparently this was guided and led for me to be on here tonight and to share what little bit, you know, that I do understand and have experienced in this life. And I like the fact that you guys get together. And one important thing that I heard that's keeping you guys focused is the fact you guys talk about your family and your kids, man. You'd be surprised how therapeutic, how helpful, you know, and how much you appreciate that, and it just opportunity to forget all the stress and strife and all the distractions that's out here and involve you, because you get the chance to see your family or to talk to your family and to know that your family is okay. You know?
For sure. Yeah. That's true. I've never really looked at it like that, but you know, that is one of those things, that's one of the small things that make a big difference, you know, just being able to talk about certain things.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, I've always shared with, you know, for you, I'm sorry, man. Y'all call him Eric, man. I got to call that cat who he is. Every time I talk to Buster. That's his name. You
know. Can we get the story behind the nickname?
I got a nickname for all four of my kids. Buster had that name when he was born.
Yeah, he was born with it.
He was born Buster. Yeah.
I don't even know the origin of that name, honestly.
Yeah. All you know, you're a young man with an old soul.
You know, I can.
Hey, what's your family nickname, bro?
Hey, now no cat, man. My dad, for the longest, you know, ever since I can remember, I was Shaka.
Shaka, what's the origin behind that?
So my dad is real big on his roots and everything. So like we all have our names, but we all have African names as well. And you know, Shaka Zulu was a warrior Yes, he was. And, you know, my dad always told me, you know what I mean, I was a warrior, I was a fighter. You know what I mean? And it's crazy how my life has turned out. I actually became a soldier, and, you know, I'm still fighting the good fight. So, you know, I try to live up to my name every day.
There you go. Okay.
What about you, Sella?
My family nickname is just—it's pretty easy. It's just Sellers. That's what everybody in my family call me. But like, people on the street never call me that. So when I hear that name, I'm like, my family around? Like,
who right, it sure is. My family nickname, my aunt, she did give me the name Zay Zay. You know what I mean? When I was younger, and nobody else calls me that. So when I hear Zay Zay, I know she around somewhere. Nah, that's cool though, man. That's dope. So, Walter, I wanted to ask, you know, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
56.
56. Okay. Half a century, you know what I mean, of life, a lot of experience there. You know, I just one question I wanted to ask you was, you know, growing up as a young man, like in your 20s, you know, what was your mental like, you know, with things that may have been going on during that time, with, you know, things you may have been trying to overcome? And you don't have to get too personal if you don't want to.
Yeah.
But, you know, just like to give us perspective of, you know, if we're, you know, going in the right direction, or if we shouldn't feel bad for feeling a certain way, what was your mental like, you know, growing up, coming up in your 20s as a young man?
Well, I just had a conversation with my buddy the other day, and I told him, you know, for young people between the ages of 17 to 25, you know, they're at like the dumbest part of their life. they don't know what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, too many of them don't know what they want to. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
You know, I told them by the time they get 30, they should be working on that path of what they're going to do the rest of their life. And the time they're 35, they should have already the rest of their life set up and ready to move forward. So for me in my 20s, man, you know, after I got out of active duty Marine Corps, you know, in 86.
Thank you for your service.
Yes, sir. It's crazy, man, because I really didn't have no direction. I really didn't have a plan. You know, I wasn't goal-oriented. You know, I was spontaneous. And, you know, I just did what I did. You know, I really didn't get settled or focused forward on anything until I hooked up with my wife, you know, and then we started having kids, man. And I said, okay, this is no longer about me. You know, I had some hiccups along the way, but that's when I got into my 30s. But in my 20s, man, I really didn't have too much direction at all, you know, and I don't blame nobody. You know, I never leaned on the excuse of how I grew up, you know, not having this, that, and the third, and living below the poverty line. I never used that as an excuse, and not having a father in my life, I definitely never used that excuse at all, you know, because there were opportunities, man, where I could have listened, and I chose not to listen. I chose to surrender to my own devices. You know, and so with you guys, what you're doing right now, I think it's awesome, man. You know, you guys went in the military. I would assume you guys also furthered your education just as well. You know, you guys decided, you know, to say, hey, it's more to life, you know, than the having the simple things all the time. You know, you want to achieve some goals. You want to cross some hurdles. You know, you want to get on the right path. And when you get to that crossroad, you know, you still don't know which way it's going to go, but you're confident in it, whichever direction you take, because of what you've built up for yourself. So what you guys are doing at that point, this point in your life, man, you know, I applaud you. And it's freaking awesome. It's far beyond what I was at that point in life, man. Far beyond it. But I didn't experience none of this was going on right here. In small town USA, Petersburg, Virginia, I didn't experience none of this stuff that's happening now, particularly with racism. I grew up with it, you know, with busing back in the early 70s. You know, I saw it in the second grade, you know, with a teacher, and in the third grade with the principal, You know, I saw it then, and it was crazy. I saw that racism, you know. But my best, some of my best friends, you know, cliche, were white.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I protected them against some black guys that were bullied. You know, I did that, and I live with that today, and I'm grateful for having had that type of experience. You know, and it, I'm able to share and to speak on it, and I've instilled it all into Buster. He's growing up, man. You know, because he knows when I just talk to him, I give him straight talk. I'm not going to pacify it. I'm not going to give you a whole bunch of words and stuff. I'm going to tell you straight. You know, and then I'm going to patch you up, but I'm going to give you the straight first.
For sure.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's the most important thing of, you know, having a father figure in your life. Because, you know, mothers do a big part. But, you know, mothers tend to sugarcoat things and, you know, they tend to baby us a little bit from the world. But, you know, my dad used to do the same thing. He'd give it to me straight. You know what I mean? He tell me straight up, you know, you're a young black man in America. You know, some things are just going to be a certain way. You got to fight through that. And like you said, you can't use it as an excuse. You know what
that's
mean?
Right.
And it's crazy that that you said that, because I just spoke to my father last night and he was saying the same things. You know, he was like, everything he went through in life, you know, he couldn't use it as an excuse because, you know, he'd still be stuck where he was. And you know, that mindset just shows, you know, in order to be successful, in order to continue to grow, you know what I mean, in order to see older ages, you can't just dwell on the past and use what you've been through as an excuse to not become a better person. And I think that's really deep.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Fellas.
So, go ahead.
So, no, I was just saying, fellas, I don't know if there was any other questions you want to ask. I don't want to steal the whole spotlight because I got a few questions I could ask. But
yeah,
know,
I got one.
I'm for it, man. I'm for it.
So, Walter, you said, like, since you didn't have a father figure around, did you have any role models growing up, or it was just like you were out there on your own?
None of them, man. I had a ton of them.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, my brother and I, you know, and some of the cats I talk with on social media, we talk about it all the time, because a lot of the guys I grew up with, you know, a lot of us didn't have fathers in our lives.
Yeah.
You know? And the ones that had fathers, their fathers kept them away from us. You know? But we lean on each other.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever had the big brother, that was a role model.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever had the uncles, that was the role model. You know, the black guy in the neighborhood that'll snatch you up, you know, kick you in the back and you're behind and send you home, but don't even tell your parents, and you're scared to tell your parents, you know, your mother. That's your role model. Getting involved in sports, you know, all sorts of activities, going to school, you know, meeting your teachers, you know, those were role models. And when you pay attention to the instruction that they give, you open your mind, open yourself up. You see what they were telling you and what they were leading you and what they were feeding you, it was for your own good. You know. Now, at a young age, when you're like that, yes, you're gonna learn. You're gonna learn how to disseminate the information, what's good to you, what's good for you, and what ain't worth your time. You're gonna learn that. Because the cats you hang with, you know, they're gonna look at you and they're gonna say a few things and you keep it moving forward. You know, but I had so many growing up when I was growing up, man. You know, I think that's one of the reasons why I never used not having a father in my life. You know, I never leaned on that crutch of not having this, that, and the third. I never leaned on that crutch. You know, I never leaned on that at all.
Yeah. Hey, but it's crazy my dad says that, because I personally feel that within our community, he's been that role model and that mentor for so many young brothers in our neighborhood that I saw growing up. Even when I was a kid, he used to always have his football players at the house. He was always there mentoring them, coaching them. They screw up in school, their mom would call him, he'd go over there, you know, put a foot in them metaphorically, and just hold them accountable. And it's just so many people that I grew up with, and even players that he coached when I was a kid, like, they always tell me, hey man, your dad is a real good person. If it wasn't for your dad, I wouldn't be in this position that I'm currently in. So that's something that I always try to emulate. And you know, once I eventually settle down in whatever community I want to build my family, I hope to do the exact same.
Amen. Thank you, sir. That's I'm humble.
No question.
Yeah, that's dope.
Yeah.
Yeah. No question. No question. I got a question, fellas. So y'all know how growing up, your parents always did things that you disliked, but you somewhat still do it to this day. What's one of those things that your fathers did growing up that you dislike, and you're like, damn, I kind of do the exact same thing now.
That's tough, man. Man, I'm gonna have to think on that one a little bit, man. That's a question that threw me off a little bit. You know, I'll give you one thing. This my dad, right? So, like I told y'all, my dad's like 6'4", 250, so he's a pretty big dude, right? So he never really like put hands on us per se, but he had this look, and when he gave that look, you know what I mean? You knew it was time to shape up, or else you know what I'm saying? He was going to have to step in the back room one time. So, you know, I catch myself doing that now. You know what I mean? Like even at other people, like you know what I mean? People ask me stupid shit. Pardon my language, stupid questions. I kind of just look at him like really, like let's shape up before something happens. So I catch myself doing that rather than you know using words, just looking at people a certain way. So that's one thing I'll say I inherited from my dad that I used to hate that he did to me.
What about you, Marcella? I'm
trying to think, cause like. My dad wasn't really the disciplined person in the house, but like when he spoke, you better listen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. So, for sure.
What? I can't really think of anything right now.
Yeah, it's not that. Why it'll hit you. You'll be doing something. Yeah. You'll be doing something. And you'll be like, damn, that's what I do. So, what about you, Eric?
I think for me, he used to always get mad I would slam his car door. And, like, I never understood it because I'd be like, in my head, I'm thinking, like, I'm not slamming the door that hard. He'd be like, I paid for this car. So now that I have a car, and I hate when people slam my door, bro. Like, I hate it with a passion. Like, even if it's unintentional, I hate it so bad, man. Like, why are you slamming my door, man? Like, you don't pay for this car.
Oh, I got it. that sparked it. I got it. So like, he used to be the lights, right? So, like, I'll go to sleep with the TV on.
Oh, no, man. Oh, my God.
He always be in my case, like, oh, so you pay the light bill, right? Like, that kind of deal, you know, like, just on my case about, oh, so you just going to leave the TV on? You just going to leave the lights on while you leave the house? And now I'm that guy because I'm like, oh man, I need to turn all this stuff off. Why is this and nobody's watching it? Like, what is this room being lit for and nobody's in it? Like, yeah, I'm doing that now.
that and the thermostat. I hate when people touch the thermostat.
Yeah, I'm gonna lie.
I really never understood it until I got older, man.
Right,
exactly.
Man, that bill be steep sometimes, man.
Yeah.
Man, that's
you
funny.
You don't pay no bills in this house,
right? Right. You know, I find it kind of funny that, like, you know, we did not know each other as children, but you know, somewhat had the same type of experiences, you know, in childhood. It's like the slamming the door thing, man. My dad used to hate that too.
Oh yeah. Man,
I used to get that man. Funny. Man, what?
Yeah. That's
dope, now Walter. So, you a sports fan?
Yes, sir.
Well, what are your teams?
Not one in particular in basketball. You know, I used to be a Lakers fan till when they. Bought Kobe on, they got rid of my man Eddie Jones.
Okay.
I fell out of favor with them.
Okay.
You know, I just like watching the good basketball game and root for the underdog, you know.
Yeah. 2004.
Same way
root for the 2004 Pistons.
Yeah, I rooted against them majorly, sir. Yeah. Rooted against them majorly. Same with baseball. College b-ball, I like small schools.
Yeah.
I love small schools. You know, I love those schools that the big schools don't want to play.
Gotcha.
I love watching them. College football, Miami Hurricane all day long.
Okay.
I love them, you know. And once again, I root for the team that nobody wants to play.
Yeah.
And in the last couple of years, I've become a North Dakota State fan and a James Madison fan. And, you know, I became fans of those teams, man. Nobody wants to play them. I'm going to start getting more into becoming a North Carolina A&T fan.
Yeah. You like the underdogs for real, for real.
Pro football. I'm a Dolphin fan.
Okay.
You know, yeah, I've been a Dolphin fan since 74, baby.
Man.
You know, and then again, you know, you got a black quarterback, I'm a fan. But if you got a black head coach, I'm a fan.
Yeah.
You know, but you like the Dolphins, they got a minority quarterback and they got two minorities, you know, that's calling the shots.
Yeah.
You know, so that makes me that much more proud of them, man. Yeah. And I love my high school football, high school basketball, freestyle wrestling. You know, I love watching girls' sports. I don't have a team in particular, but I just love to watch them compete because they're all about the basics and the fundamentals.
Right, right.
No showboating, hot dogging, or none of that stuff like that. They beat you to death with fundamentals and basics.
Sir. Yes, sir. Baylor girls basketball.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Dude, yes, sir.
They are tough. Yes, they are
Don
tough.
Don Staley, down at East South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay, all right. So you kind of well versed in teams. I mean, it's better than being a Texan fan, so I ain't mad at it.
Wow. The disrespect.
Nah, man. Hey, I don't know what's going on with that organization over there, man.
Yeah. Hey, bro. Believe it or not, I think, crazy as this sounds, I think our offense would be better without Hopkins because it's going to force us to spread the field a little more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he might be on something, or y'all could fall apart completely.
I don't think I want to share that sandwich with you, sir.
Right.
I don't know, man. We're going to be like the Oklahoma Sooners, you know, score a bunch of points, but defense will be trash. Hey, man.
Boomer Sooner, man. Boomer Sooner, baby. If he pops on,
you know, I'm still emotional about that, so I got to be optimistic.
So have y'all ever competed head to head in any sport or competition? Do y'all go back and forth in anything?
So he and I? Not really. We have some great discussions.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. We have some great discussions and I try to, when I get into discussions about it, I try to see past, you know, what's on the front and try to and get them to look at, you know, the makeup of it. Of a discussion and stuff like that, whatever we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Okay. Yeah.
So we had a lot of great discussions on sports and stuff like that.
Yeah. So y'all share conflicting opinions. Y'all debate it out.
Yeah. We've had that.
Okay. Yeah. I can see that. Cause Eric is one. He likes to debate. He sure does like to get his point across.
Yeah. He gets real. It gets real wordy at times.
What about you, Isaiah? What were you competitive with your dad?
Oh, me and him? Basketball. For sure. Basketball and surprisingly tennis.
Wow.
Yeah. A lot of people, man, he used to bust me in tennis, man. I was like, man, you can't play no tennis. Because, you know, I mean, I played a little bit in, like, school, so I was all right. I knew the basics. I had a mean serve. Man, he returned my serve. I was like, oh, shit, I got to play. And, like I said, my dad's 6'4", and he's pretty big, so he was getting across the court like, soup. I was like, shit, I felt like I was playing Serena Williams.
He probably got quick feet, too.
He was like, yo, for real.
And then, that's what it is.
He would abuse me in the post. You know what I mean? Like, he'd give me ball first, and as soon as I missed, that was it. He just backed me down. His favorite player was Charles Barkley, Magic Johnson, you know, guys like that. So he would.
Oh yeah, Barkley. Oh, your dad was dirty. If he liked
Barkley. Dirty. He told me, look. So Eric. So you notice how I always play big man anytime we play ball. It's because of him.
Hey, both
of us, bro. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's because of him. The elbow, drop step elbow.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't care how big you are, the elbow gonna move you out the way, man.
Hey, hey, Hub, you and my dad got something in common. Y'all lefties.
Lefties? Hey, we're gifted, sir.
I'm a lefty, too.
You get, and you're blessed.
Yes,
God,
sir.
One of God's favorite.
Yes, sir.
God's left-handed.
I try to tell them these people don't understand it.
Yeah. God is left-handed. Jesus is left-handed, too.
See, look, highly favored. Yeah, it's funny, man. I'm the only left-handed in my family.
Really?
Yeah. Well, it was crazy when I was growing up. I threw right hand, left-handed, and I wrote left-handed, but I kick right-footed. Baseball, I bet right-footed. Basketball, I shoot right-handed. You know, I mean, I bet baseball, I play right-handed. Everything right-handed.
Yeah.
Basketball, I was right-handed. You know, I didn't really incorporate my left hand into the sports until I got like the high school when I learned the importance of being able to switch over.
Yeah, being ambidextrous.
Yeah, being able to switch over, man. And I knew a white kid, man. He was a lefty. And what he would do, his left arm would get tired, man. They'd let him pitch one or two innings right-handed. And he was just as more effective. He had more breaking stuff with his right hand because he threw slow, but he threw accurate.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
That's key right there.
Yeah.
What about you, Marcellus? Yeah, I know you like 6 foot two. You one of the taller ones in your family, huh?
Yeah, I'm technically the tallest. My older brother, he's 6'2". I'm 6'3". My mom's 6 foot. So we got
Your mom is tall.
But for me and my dad, like it was Halo. Like that was our competitive thing. We used to go ham. The weekend come. You turn the Xbox on, don't ask us to do nothing. Like, or we would wait till the end of the day, like 9 o'clock. We'll play like 2 a.m. It'd be me, my cousin, my older brother, and my dad against us two, right? And my cousin wasn't that good, so I had to carry the team. But like I got nice. Like we didn't have online back then, but we would have matches where we go to 50. I had like 40, 42. But that was how we competed. We play Halo like crazy. Or back before that, we had like Diddy Kong Racing, Mario Kart, stuff like that. So it was always through video games. That's how me and my dad
bonded. Nice. So your dad's a gamer?
Yeah, hardcore.
That's dope, man. That's dope. Man, my dad walked in one time on me and my brother playing 2K. He thought we were watching a real NBA game. He was like, you know what they don't play so early. You're like, nah, dad, it's the Xbox. My pops, he a little older school, you know what I mean? Like I was telling the guys earlier, I mean he still has the iPhone from like 2008.
Jesus.
Yeah. Hey, it works for him, so he's like, why do I need a new one? I'm like, cool, pops.
Fact.
No, but that's cool.
How old is your father, man?
Say again.
How old is your father?
Y'all about the same age. He's 56. He's 57 in October. I mean, he's
How's his health?
Oh, he's great. He rides bike all the time. You know, I got a 7-year-old little brother. Yeah, as crazy as that sounds. So he's real active. They, you know, like I said, me and him were competitive in basketball. That kid is a prodigy. I'm talking about, man, Marcellus, I don't know if you've ever seen videos of him, but he's 7 years old. He dribbles like Curry, and his shot is on point. He can shoot left-handed, right-handed. Wow. So he's been
awesome.
He keeps him in good health. You know what I'm saying? So
good.
Then we talk all the time. That's, to be real, that's my best friend. So, you know, we bump heads a lot because we have the same attitude and we're kind of the same person. But at the end of the day, you know, it's all love. But I talked to him yesterday, and you know, he's good health. You know, he misses me, wants to come visit me. But you know, being it that you know, I'm out doing what I'm doing, he's proud of me. So everything is good and copacetic.
Oh yeah, he brags about you. You'd be surprised, man. That's what we do. We get an opportunity to have conversations with others, man, and, you know, the opportunity to speak about our kids, man. You know, we always highlight that moment, you know, particularly what it is they're doing in life. We get to poke our chests out and hold our heads up, you know, and look at what I've done. And
how I ran through the kids.
Yeah. We do that. Dads do that, man.
For sure, man. You know, for sure. I know you got a lot to brag with Eric over there because he's an outstanding gentleman.
Yeah. He is. I'm proud of him, man. I tell him often. You know, I'm proud. I'm happy for him, you know, so.
He's a sore loser in 2K, but, you know, he's all right.
Wow. Bro, I actually came last time you played, I came back.
Yeah, you got me. You know, you get your moment, you know, every blast girl files a nut, you know what I'm saying? Every dog has his day.
Yeah.
Nah, man, but I gotta give you your flowers while you still here, brother.
Yeah, for sure, bro. Y'all stand up guys as well, man. Like, I know y'all dads are extremely proud of you guys too. That's something we need to acknowledge as well. But I got a funny question. So, well, more so a funny story. What was your dad's first lesson he taught you about women? I got a story. I know my dad's going to laugh at this one. So, seventh grade, bro. I told my dad, I'm like, I want to take this girl to the school dance. I'm like, you know, I'm going to buy her a ticket. So, he gave me the money. The tickets were $5. So, you know, I buy her a ticket. I'm like, hey, I told the girl we going to the dance. My dad actually chaperones the dance. So we go into the dance, bro. I buy the girl a ticket. Why that girl ain't talk to me the whole time at the party?
Oh man!
Bro, when I say I was sick, bro, like my dad was clowning me so bad, bro. He was like, "Hey," I remember his exact words verbatim. Well, son, that's your first lesson about women. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Bro, like, when I say I was sick, bro, like, my feelings was hurt, man. I was upset for, like, the rest of the school year about that situation, bro.
Shit, I would have been too, man. I stood up at the dance.
Yeah.
And your dad was there to witness it, so you can't even play the story off, man.
Yeah.
I tried to lead a dance early. He was like, "Nope, we staying here the whole time."
Right, like life lesson number one, man.
Yeah, endure.
Right. Hey,
yeah.
Like, that's a good one, though.
What about you, Marcellus? What's your first lesson about women that your dad taught you?
I can't even think right now, but like he just always had stories, and he was crafty with his stories because he always found a way to throw a lesson in there. And you don't even notice it. You're just like all in the story. And then like you speaking back everything that he said. And you're like, wait a minute. Oh, he just taught me something. Like,
yo, them aha moments.
Mm-hmm. He's so good at storytelling, man. Like you can sit down all day and listen.
That's where you get it from.
I guess so.
Right, that's
exactly where you get it from. When you're telling your story.
Yeah.
What about you, Hub?
Man, so my dad is like anybody who knows my dad, they equate him to Lawrence Fishburne and Don't Be a Menace. Cause my dad's he's real like cerebral, you know what I mean? So he told me and I remember one time he told me, he said, cause I was tripping over this girl, man, and I was like, man, Pops, I don't know like what the hell's going on, or like I tried to talk to her, she didn't want to get with me, like this at the 30, and it's like, son, I said, Shaka, every 7 years, the way a person thinks changes. He goes, what you're interested in now, you won't be interested in 7 years from now, because a 7-year-old doesn't think like a 14-year-old, doesn't think like a 21-year-old, and a 21-year-old doesn't think like a 28-year-old, and what he told me was, when you turn 28, she said she's going to realize your personality, she's going to realize the type of man you are, and as long as you keep getting that money, and stacking up, she don't want to come around, Shaka. And I was like, back. Ever since that day, been focusing on myself, and I'm just letting the energy come to me. And that's just how it's been.
There you go.
Right. But it was more of a life lesson and a lesson about women. Because, you know, that 7 years thing is true in many aspects. And, you know, I mean, it's true in your taste of women and your taste of, you know, things that you like to do and what makes you happy and all types of other stuff. So that one was a really good lesson that stuck with me.
Yeah, that's good, bro.
Yes, sir. Pops hit me with a lot of stuff. Like I said, he's real cerebral. So he'd be hitting me. He'll drop me like with a quote every time like we finish talking. And another one that really stuck with me was, you know, there's no standing still in life. Either you're moving forward or you're getting passed by. And he told me that. I think like right before I left for the Army, and it didn't make no type of sense until I actually got in the Army and they like broke it down to the point where, all right, if I don't get my ass up and move, I'm gonna get left behind.
Exactly.
But that was
another thing. Yeah. How long you been in?
I did 5 years. I actually got out in 2016.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so.
Bro, it's been that long?
Say again?
I said, I can't believe it's been that long.
Yes, sir. 4 years, man. It's crazy to me, too. It's crazy to me, too. I've been a free man for 4 years now.
Hey, watch it.
But nah, I care for him, man. I loved every moment. You know, my pops, he served as well. So, you know what I mean? Following his footsteps and you know, just make something better of myself. I enjoyed every moment of it. And, you know, keeping in track with the theme of the episode, you know, he dropped me off, you know, at basic training, and he was there when I graduated. You know what I mean? He was, you know what I mean? Through that whole time, he told me what I needed to hear, not what I wanted to hear. You know what I'm saying?
So exactly.
He made it real bearable and real durable. And, you know, our last episode was comfort zones. And, you know, he was one that really pushed me to you know, break out of those comfort zones. Because, you know, and I'm pretty sure you've done the same thing to Eric. You know what I mean? You put him in those situations he didn't want to be in. And you said, hey, sink or swim, ride the bike or fall off.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know, that's just, you know, what fathers do.
Yeah. Like I tell him, man, either shit or get off the pot.
straight to the point, no sugarcoating.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nah, I dig that.
That is.
I dig that, man. Marcellus, man. So what's something that your pops has like taught you that, you know what I mean, that's always stuck with you, or something that he said that's always stuck with you?
Man, he got so many gems.
Right, yo. I'll tell you, the older they get, man, the grayer the beard, the smarter they get.
My dad's like, he's an introvert. Like, his circle is a dot. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when you get that time to sit there and listen to what he's talking about, you're like, wow, I wish you could tell this to other people, you know? Like, but he's not that type of person to go out there and be like a football coach or something like that. But he has so many gems. One of the ones I would say that stuck with me, he would say the loudest person in the room isn't the strongest, you know, isn't the smartest, that kind of deal. And
right.
Oh no, I was agreeing.
Yeah, and like just based off of him, like just because he's naturally an introvert, and like the more I learn about this stuff, because I'm studying sociology, the more like I'm learning about how everyone, the actions of all the people in my family. So he's to an introvert to the point that he'll like, there's people that don't have monologues in their head, right? So they'll speak all the words they were thinking when they're by themselves, because it's just easier to get the thoughts out. So my mom would be complaining, like, man, because he gets up like 3:30 in the morning and go to work. And she'd be like, he'll just be walking around the house talking to himself. And she'd be like, who are you talking to? He's like, no, it's just, I'm just nobody. I'm just talking to myself. And he'd be so calm about it. But just the power that he had with so much silence, he still was able to always say what he needed. And whenever he always had some form of a message or something that in a story that he told. Like, he grew up really, really rough. And I learned so much from just sitting down and listening to his story.
Where your pop from?
Brooklyn, New York.
Okay.
Grew up in Brooklyn. He was raised by his grandma. And same thing. Like, he didn't really have a father figure around, so yeah. You know, he did that. What you said, the stupid years.
Yeah,
he's involved in the stupid years, but he brought a lot of wisdom out of it. And him and my uncle, they kind of grew up around each other, so like they bounced their stories back and forth, and some of the situations they've been in together, and you're just like, wow. Especially because it was the 80s, like all that stuff going on at that time.
God, the 80s was off the hook.
Yeah, they was like, you know, I lose a friend every, you know, 2 weeks. Somebody I know is either dying or going to jail. And it's just like, what? It's like, yeah, this is normal. So to hear that, and I kind of grew up in Brooklyn for the most part, and they moved us because of that. And they made all those sacrifices and did all those things. So I appreciate my dad so much.
Yeah, awesome.
That's good, bro.
Yeah, for real, that's dope, bro. Especially for, you know, him to come up that way and to get his family up out of there, man, that's super respectable.
Yeah.
Man, this was a great conversation, man. One, because, you know, it's a good representation because, you know, like we said, not a lot of people have a father figure coming up, you know, no matter what demographic they come from, you know, shit happens and people just happen to grow up without those father figures. And, you know, just to hear the lighter side of, you know, what it's like to have one around and the experiences of having one, you know, that's keeping us on track, you know, when we bump off. And even like you said, Eric, your dad being, you know, almost a pillar in the community, you know, my father was the same way for all of my friends. You know, like when I was 13, my dad had bought some workout equipment, right? So it's a little funny story. My dad had bought some workout equipment, right? So, you know, I mean, he took me and my cousins, and we all started working out in the basement of my aunt's crib, you know, because she had the biggest house, she had the biggest space, so we was working out in auntie's crib. Shout out to Aunt Carla, love you. But we'd be down there working out. You know, I'd come to school, you know what I mean? I'd be a little bigger than I was, and people, yo, Hub, what you doing? Da-da-da-da. I'd be like, yeah, I'm working out with my pops in the garage. Yo, can we work out? I'd ask my dad, he'd be like, yeah, bring him through. Yo, nobody ever came back the second day. nobody ever came back the second day, man. Cause yo, pops use and you know, anybody who's worked out with me, I go hard, like intense.
Yeah.
Yo, nobody has ever made it. I mean, it was so bad, like we had this treadmill and we all hated it. Cause you know, middle of the summer, middle of the winter, no matter what, in a basement, it's either hot or it's cold. So you don't want to be down there running whether you're stiff or whether you're hot. So that treadmill used to be torture. Man, one day my cousin talking about he woke up, he had a dream that thing was broken, and he was so ecstatic throughout the whole day, so he had to come home and run on that treadmill. You know what I mean? But it's just, you know what I mean, things like that where we look back now and it's like, all right, I can run 5 miles on a treadmill because I've been through that, because, you know, my dad helped me push through that. You know, those life lessons, they transcend, you know, from young men to us as adults, and we tend to see our fathers in ourselves even when we don't do it intentionally. You know, if my father had a better phone, he'd be on here, and, you know, it's crazy. It sounded like there was two of me talking, not only because of our voices are super deep, but, like, the same thing he says is the same thing I say. And like, when I listen to him talk and then I look back and I listen to my podcast, I'm like, damn, I sound a lot like my dad. And not in a bad way, in a good way, man, because, you know, any man who stands up, you know, raises his children and does what he needs to do, you know, has the utmost respect and is a mentor and a hero in my eyes. So, you know, Walter, I just want to thank you for that. And, you know, I mean, I bet Eric could thank you countless times for everything that, you know, you may have taught him.
Well, like I said, man, I'm humbled by the opportunity to be a part of you guys' discussion tonight, man. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it's so helpful in many ways, you know, because what I see, one, I see you guys opening up and sharing, you know, about your professional and your personal life and walk in life,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then you just take the time to get an old fella like me, you know, to come in, you know, and drop some pennies. I'm not even going to call them dimes, you know, to share, you know, my experiences, man. You know, so I'm quite certain, as I said before, you know, us dads, you know, what we do, man, we brag about our family. We brag about our sons, you know, and trust and believe that, you know, that your father's there. They're bragging about you guys. And, you know, you allow them to puff their chest out, you know, and to hold their heads high, man, to pull their shoulders back, you know. And you'd be surprised if you was a fly on the wall or somewhere and you just listen to how they say, my son. You know, they say, my son.
Right.
You know, because every time you say, I say, you know, when I'm talking to the cats at work, man, we be sitting around chopping it up, kicking the bobo. You know, I say, my son. And I pause 1 or 2 seconds, you know. And I never realized until right now. You know, and the same way I talk about him, even his bigger brother, my older son, you know, who's still trying to get it together, you know, and in spite of all that he's done, I seek the good, and I still speak the good on him,
mm-hmm.
you know, because that's what it is, you know. So, you know, and I'm grateful, man. I think this is awesome of what you guys are doing. I really do.
I definitely appreciate that. Greatly appreciate that. You did remind me now that you mentioned Eric's brother. Were you an only sibling, or did you have any like younger or older siblings?
For me,
yes.
Yeah, I had a younger brother.
Okay, younger.
He's about 4 years younger than I am. I have two older sisters.
Okay, so being that you were one of the older males, because I know my father, he was the only male. You know, I have all aunts. You know, did you feel like you had a bigger responsibility on your shoulders to sort of be that, how can I say this, be that role model?
That was never put upon me.
Okay.
That was never put upon me. And let me back up. You grew into that.
Gotcha.
From the community that you were in, you know. Everybody wanted to be like the big boys. You know, when I was growing up playing ball, man, the big boys, the guys that were 3, 4, and 5 years old, I wanted to be like them. You know, I watched them and I patterned myself after them, either on the playing field, the basketball court, you know, even in school, you know, even just doing the walk in life, just seeing them out and about in the streets. You know, you got to that point in life, you know, and you start seeing the little youngins looking up to you, like my brother and his friends,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we had this thing when I was in playing high school football, you know, we wore those big horse collars, and I used to take my horse collar, and one of the Hundley brothers I was talking about that lives in Arizona, he used to take my horse collar and just dress it up real swell, you know, real swell, and it was one of those things that stood out, you know. I got it from an older guy. And then my brother and his friends, they started doing the same thing,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, no, I really didn't have that pressure, but you found yourself, you know, as one, as you were growing up.
Right.
Yeah. You found it as yourself as one. So.
Okay. Yeah. I can understand that. Cause I can attest to that as well. Cause you know, I had a lot of youngins, you know, that used to want to hang out with me. You know what I mean? When I was younger, just cause I played ball. And I'd take them to the parks, you know, and I never thought anything of it. But, you know, now when they hit me up, you know, it makes me think. And now that you're affirming it, you know, you do kind of grow into that role. So that's kind of, mm-hmm. That's a dime right there. That's some true knowledge.
Yeah. And you welcome it. You enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It makes you feel good. You know what I mean?
Great. Well, it. You get the chance to witness your worth.
Right. Okay.
And your value.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that it means more to others, you know, to see that and to see you.
Right.
You know. So it keeps you humble.
For sure.
Yeah. It kept me humble. I'm still out here. You know, I don't get involved as much as I used to. You know, but I still stay in touch, and I see cats, and I holler at cats, you know, and I still, you know, speak this, that, and to them.
Good.
You know, but I'm humble about the whole thing.
So I think, yeah, that's probably the best way to put it, you know, humble. Definitely.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, we're closing in on an hour. I like to keep the episodes around the hour, so are there any Any closing thoughts any of you gentlemen have before we wrap it up?
Well, I talk to Buster a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I always tell him, I've always told him, especially when he took off and went to the military, you know, get yourself a prayer life. You know, believe in the words you use. Believe in who you deliver the words to. You know, and you can find assurances in that. You know, so I like to share that. I don't know, you know, what religion or faith that you guys have, but whatever it is, I'm quite certain you have that time in life where you have that moment, you know, where you can spiritually separate yourself from your physical self and focus and have that. So use that, make use of that. You'd be surprised how helpful to you, you know, and how it can guide you. And how it can strengthen you, and how it can make you a make your day or your moment better. So that's what I say, man. Get a prayer life, you know, and whoever you pray to.
Man, I couldn't have said that any better. I don't think I could have closed it any better.
Yeah.
You know, Walter. Once again, just thank you for coming on. Thank you for dropping the knowledge, man. You know, I can't say it enough how much, you know, we appreciate you for doing this. Not only this, but, you know, everything you do and continue to do.
Yes, sir.
You know, with that being said, I just want to thank everybody for tuning in. And until next time, positivity, prosperity, peace.
Peace, peace.
Yes.
Peace, fellas.
All right.